This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday, as far as I can tell, on the Press Box. Nick is here. I am here. We are going to have fun. The future's so bright, we gotta wear shades.
I didn't expect you to wear them right away.
Yeah, you gave them to me. I mean, you're as tight as a drum. So the fact that you got me this, I'm going to treat it like a birthday gift, and I'm going to wear them. But also because the draft lottery is tonight, and the future could be brighter for the Rockets.
Slightly brighter.
Slightly. Or, Nick, I was thinking about this. See if you can go along with this. Follow me here.
Okay.
The Rockets are going through puberty in the middle of a soap opera, and it all ends tonight, and we're going to call it As the Balls Fall. Because depending on how their balls fall tonight, they're either going to get lucky or it's going to be a long road ahead.
What's the worst possible situation right now? Outside, obviously, not getting the top four.
Five. Five is a rockety thing to have happen. Because you don't keep your pick, you just miss it, and OKC ends up with two really good picks.
Yeah, and there's a big drop-off in talent.
Yes.
So it's just...
Now, I've said this all along, and I really believe this. It's been pretty clear that they've identified who the top five players in this draft are. Three of them, I believe, are 2 or 3 years away because of the fact that they have a whole lot physically that they have to have happen in terms of strength and maturity. There's two players that can help the Rockets and in their time frame that they need them to be available. And that's Suggs, and that's the kid from Oklahoma State.
Cade.
Cunningham. So if they don't get top two, I still think it helps, but I don't know how significantly it can help. Because for next season, I don't think it comes close to helping the way they need it to help.
Is it a bad situation, though, if it gets down to that road? Or is it just... is the significantly worse situation. Like, I don't know. I mean, if they don't get one of those two players, a lot of people view this as just a massive drop-off, and you're really just bent, you're just out of luck at that point.
So Mobley from USC is 7 foot, 7 foot one.
But a lot of people are not sold on him.
He reminds me a lot of Bosch in terms of his ability, basketball. Hear me out, folks. With his basketball abilities based on his size. But he weighs about, he's about as skinny as my pinky finger.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, and again, I say this so that you guys take into perspective, you can get him an easy tag to a drive-through, and you hope that he can just eat his way and lift his way into getting bigger. Sometimes it works out, and it works out really well as players fill out. And then other times, you get Hashim Thabeet, who's 7'4", and no matter what they did and how they tried, you couldn't put an ounce of muscle or weight on him, and he just never fills out.
And the other thing that you have with those type of players is that maybe he does progress. He does progress, but he progresses slowly. And a lot of teams are not really willing to wait for that slow rate of progression. And so they give up on him, and then he progresses into an okay or even a good player later on in his career, maybe 5, 6, 7 years into his career. Look, Curry wasn't really necessarily Steph Curry until his fourth or fifth season. This happens. I mean, and so that's the problem that you have with those type of players. A, like you said, will they fill out? Will they actually get bigger? B, will they develop quick enough for them to spend more time with them? And look, you can make the same argument with my boy Clint Capella. Like, if that guy had progressed a little bit more on the offensive side, maybe he still gets traded, but maybe he doesn't, you know?
And with Capella, they kind of wanted – he screwed up their plan. Their plan was to draft and stash. They were going to draft him and throw him back overseas in Europe for a year or two, and then eventually bring him in 1 year when he had a chance to fill out and develop a little bit more, when they really could use him and they could get him a chance to actually be ready to play. Instead, he came to Houston and said, "I'm not leaving." And he pressed the issue until they had to find a spot for him, and then that kind of screwed some things up. But that's why I'm saying you got two high school kids that are absolutely that. They are high school kids. You got Mobley, who played 1 year at USC. No matter what the kid, how quickly they can develop, you're absolutely right, Nick. That's why I said the only two guys that at least are close to NBA ready to help them now are Mobley and Suggs. The other thing is you have to figure out how they fit with what you already have. Like, their goal is to get as many 6'7" athletic wings as possible. I know this. I've heard it from several people. Mm-hmm. This is what they're thinking. Okay? So both guys kind of fit the mold. But you still are stuck with John Wall for 2 more years. You still have a ball-dominant Porter Jr. So I don't understand how either Cunningham or Suggs is going to work unless you can either move one of those guys or you have a really deep heart-to-heart to say, we got to make sure these guys develop and have the ball, which means you're going to either have to play a different position or we're going to have to see what else we have to do.
They might have to just get rid of them. I mean, I don't see how you have that conversation, because at the end of the day, if you do plan on having them on the team, even if they don't develop into the player that you want them to, there's no sense in having them on the team without giving them reps and having them develop. So you might have to have a difficult discussion. It's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the players handle it. Do they accept a lower role or do they get traded? And that's very well. That's basically the two options when it comes down to the Rockets. And that's all in the event that they get one of those two players. And we don't even know for sure that that's going to happen. But we'll find out tonight at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central. I think it's right before the Clippers game.
Yeah, right before the game night. So it's going to be really interesting. And that's why in looking at all of this, you think about the fact, too, and we alluded to this. You get one of those picks, especially if you get one of the two that we're really referring to. And then you look at it and say, okay, this is a guy that allows them maybe in 5 years to really kind of return to a good level. But if I'm thinking about this, Nick, compared to, like, say Mobley, for example, you have a Christian Wood already. So if you get number 3 and you really like the fact that he's 7'1", but he's versatile and he can handle the ball, are you assuming that he's going to be that center of the future and Wood's going to be your 4?
I think they're going to have to. I know they've been talking about Wood being Christian being the 5 the entire time. They wanted him to be a center, but I don't see how you do that if you pair him up with Mobley. That's in the event they get Mobley. I think you have to put him down. You have to make him a 4.
I mean, you can look at the other two kids, Green and the other kid. To me, they're so far away from that the Rockets would almost be better off in that scenario of trading the pick if it's going to be one of those two high school kids and trying to add additional picks so you can get kids that are more developed and ready to play now.
Trading the pick that they have.
It's my belief that if you end up with, assuming Mobley goes 3 okay. or should go 3, if you end up with 4, I think you should trade the pick. Because I think no matter what's left, unless you want to take a flyer and surprise everybody, I think there's enough teams that are looking for a full rebuild and willing to wait for one of those kids that would trade you maybe a future first, because you don't have any, or another first in this year's draft and their draft position to move up to where I think it would be more beneficial to the Rockets if they got number 4 to get 2 later in the first round picks than it would to take a kid that's that far away from being able to help you.
That might be a low-risk gamble, though, right? Because if it doesn't work out, if you trade away the pick and it doesn't work out, well, we were talking about a really long rebuild process anyway, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't make the trade and you stick to the young player and you don't give it up and you don't give up the pick, it still may be that long process regardless, because he's a young player. Maybe he doesn't turn out to be the player that we all expected him to be. Maybe he doesn't turn out to be a star. Maybe he turns out just to be a backup on most teams. It depends. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they look at that situation. It's a low risk as a low risk situation. I don't know how your boy Rafael Stone looks at it, but I don't know. I mean,
well, first of all, he should probably look at some tape of some college
your
players.
Boy, you should be proud of your boy Pelillo, because he criticized him a little bit, because they asked him basically if they get a pick outside the top 4, does that like make it a much worse pick? And I guess he didn't answer and say yes. So Charlie Pelillo gave him some.
Well,
he gave him a few jabs.
I just think that this is for a guy that doesn't have any basketball experience. This is a make or break draft for him because he's on a short leash, because he doesn't have the resume that says other teams will want me.
From the first year, huh?
Yeah. If this job doesn't work out for me, other teams are going to want me immediately. That's not going to be the case. So this has to work out. In order for it to work out, you can't be the guy that screwed up a draft when you had 3 first-round picks, potentially one in the top 4. If you don't get that, you'd have to start getting creative and figuring out, can I parlay 2 of these picks into a higher pick? Is there a player that I really, really like that I'm targeting that I know can make us better quicker because he might be under the radar or has skills that not every team is understanding that he could possibly have? So I think it's a massive draft for the Rockets. It's a massive draft for Rafael Stone, because if you don't get this right, especially with your lack of a resume and experience in basketball operations, it could spell trouble in a lot of ways.
Well, it's all down. I guess it comes down to tonight. Well, not really to tonight. What he does with whatever pick that he gets tonight, and that, you know, 7:30 Central.
Bright, Nick, we all have to wear shades, and we're hopeful. But if it's not, it comes down to how your balls fall. And if the balls don't fall the way the pediatrician and the commissioner want them to for your Rockets, it could be a long haul before they're back to cashing in on a regular basis. I really believe this. I believe that the window right now for them, much like the Texans, but I think that much from a Rockets perspective, I'm looking at 3 to 5 years minimum for them to get back to where they just were for like 8 years. But if they don't get a top four pick, and specifically a top two, in my opinion, it could be 5 to 7. It could be a longer haul. It could be the Orlando Magic. It could be the LeBron-less Cavs. It could be, you know, a lot of these teams that you see the Hawks that have taken forever. And it took Trae Young and multiple other picks, and some of them did, like Cam Reddish. You know, when we talked about Luka, well, Dallas gave up essentially Trae Young and Cam Reddish, the draft pick in the lottery that ended up being Cam Reddish for Luka. At the time, people were like, ooh, you gave up another kind of a lottery type pick to get Luka. Cam Reddish is nothing right now.
Yeah, he's nobody. He's not even, I mean, he'll keep his job in the NBA, I imagine, but he's not.
But because of potential, like another team will take a flyer on him or think that he's got it. But that's my point about tonight. You have to know what you're doing. You have to already have, there should be on a whiteboard, Nick, and I've been in the prep rooms and things like that, and I've talked to our basketball staff over the years. There's going to be a rating of all the prospects. Then there's going to be the Rockets rating on prospects. Then there's going to be a separate list where it's going to be, these are guys, depending on where we pick, if within 2 or 3 picks we got a shot, we go do what's necessary to get them. Whether, again, when they work them out and they test them, they know things that other teams don't, based on, you know, because the Rockets shoot a lot of threes. They used to make even their big men that they brought in for workouts do a 3-point shooting drill where it's all scored and it's like a test. And they have the results of every player they've ever put it through. And then they can go back and say, well, now you got a 6'9" guy that actually tested out in the top 15-20% of our 3-point shooting testings. So therefore, we know we've got a big man that can face the basket that plays the way we want to play.
Yeah. No, it's really important. But I don't know if Fertitta and Stone have that mentality, because they might want to just keep the pick, but they might make a spontaneous decision and trade it away. I don't know if that's going to be, I don't know if you call that a spontaneous decision, but it might be a situation where they look at what the circumstances are at hand in that moment, and depending on the communication that they have with some of these other teams, maybe they make a move. I don't know.
But I think if it's top two, they absolutely keep it. I think if it's 3 or 4, they consider trading it. And I think if it's 5, it's doomsday for the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, that's that part, it would be the worst case scenario. But we'll talk more about basketball and stuff like that. Doc Rivers has some new comments on the whole Ben Simmons situation. Daryl Morey addressed it as well.
At least he didn't say that Ben Simmons is definitely going to be here.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then obviously the Astros, and I got to tell you about a boxing fight in the next segment as well. So
that sounds absolutely fantastic. Before we go to the break, we want to remind you that you can call our HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. On Twitter, it is at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we are the Press Box. And of course, this is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Answer that.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Brought to you by Boost Mobile. Feel the power of keeping more money in your pocket at Boost Mobile. Get plans that fit your budget on America's largest 5G network. For less, Boost Mobile, more power to save.
Catch, clip, release.
You'll hear that all summer with the CCA Star Catch and Release Fishing Tournament. New categories this year and more tagged reds than ever before. Spend the summer wetting a line and you can reel in a new boat and truck when you catch and release a tagged redfish. Kids can catch a $30,000 scholarship. Sponsored by Texas Ford Dealers, Chilson Homes, Academy Sports and Outdoors, Shoal Water Boats, Mustang Cat and Dargo Boats. Sign up at startournament.org, local bait camps and marinas.
This is Harold Gunn with Texas Outdoor News, and I have a special offer for listeners. Hybrid Light fills your lighting needs from flashlights to work lights to lanterns and more. These remarkable products charge from any light source or a USB cord, and they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, they can be used to charge all of your mobile devices. Get 20% off their entire product line with free same-day shipping. Go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, enter discount code ESPN20. 20% off at hybridlight.com.
I'm Jerome Solomon of Houston Sports Show.
I'm Lauren Leal, the star of Houston Sports Show.
Yeah, right. Check us out every Sunday morning at 9 here on ESPN 97.5.
We'll kick off your football Sunday with some fun, laughter, jokes, and maybe some sports.
Don't miss us every Sunday.
It's time for some straight talk. You've got real work to do, but everyone's sucking up the free Wi-Fi faster than a mocha choco double frap on ice. So be your own hotspot. Now with Straight Talk Wireless, get 10 gigs of hotspot data with the Ultimate Unlimited plan. Just $55 a month on America's largest and most dependable networks. You don't have to find a hotspot. You are the hotspot. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Oh, Nick, doesn't work.
What doesn't work?
I tried to put my glasses so that I can stay up with my peeps on the...
Do you have 2 glasses on right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But unlike when we got other sunglasses, and they could be hidden easily.
I tried wearing those sunglasses.
I love them.
Half of my forehead was covered. Like, that's how big.
Now, I wouldn't have picked neon green as the color of choice for the frames. But other than that, I saw them. I was like, and then I put them. I was like, I love them.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the neon green, but...
You said they might be made for... Who wears swimming sunglasses?
I think those are like swimming Oakleys is what I think they are. Now they're getting a free plug. Not that they needed it.
Yeah, it's all right.
But whatever. Did you see your boy Kelly Eco make an appearance?
Yeah, Kelly Eco's
here. I haven't seen him in like 2 or 3 years.
They call him Rosetta Stone Jr. now. So he's, I'm sure, getting ready to see how the balls fall. And it's a big day for him.
So you think if we say anything really, really negative about the Rockets...
Oh, he'll run and tell.
He'll go and squeal?
Yeah, he's going to squeal like a
little... You think Eco would do that to us?
Eco, his loyalties have changed. He's going to squeal like a little pig on a farm.
I don't know if Kelly Eco would do that.
Oh, I think so. We can have Kelly on for a little bit if we want to talk.
I was just
going to
ask you, yeah, maybe we get his take on the whole Rockets situation.
Sure.
Why not?
I'm not against that. You know what? I raised him. I raised him right, and then I let him out into the world, real world, and...
But how much credit does he give you for his career? Does he give you like 10% of the credit for his career?
Don't even say it.
50%?
Don't even say it. You ask him. You can ask him, and we'll go from there. But he has to understand that the future is so bright, that's why I got to wear shades, because the Rockets' future is all about tonight, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, I'm glad you like the glasses, man.
Love them. You got me more than anybody except for my sister, who got me a massive, massive intake by getting me a Starbucks gift card.
Is she still bugging you about using it?
No, we had a little conversation last night. So we worked it out. Like, she tried to pull a guilt trip that my dad used to pull on us as kids and said, so if you didn't like it, you should have just told me, sorry, I didn't get you the right gift. And I said, no. Let me make something very clear to you. I appreciate and really loved the thought and the gift because I do go to Starbucks every day. However, what I didn't appreciate is once you sent it to me, having to report to you when I opened it, when I activated it, and what I did with it. Because to me, I don't. It's like I'm on a GPS that you're monitoring for a gift that you gave me supposedly from your heart. If I never used it again or never even activated it, but I still appreciated it, isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah. And isn't it okay for you to re-gift it if you wanted to give it to someone else?
I would
else?
Think that's a possibility, too.
I think that's fair.
I know
sis.
A friend of mine that has a fear. Corey from Fitz Roofing is a buddy of mine. Corey is big now on facing his fears and overcoming them. He had one for public speaking. He used to say a lot. My nickname for him was like instead of M&M.
Of course you did that.
Yes,
of course.
And we had fun with it. But he actually took a public speaking course to get over it. Someone else found out he was afraid of heights. For his birthday, they gave him a certificate to jump out of a plane. He goes, thought it was a great gift. Never going to use it. Hope they don't mind. I'd rather re-gift it than think about facing that fear of jumping out of a plane. That's his prerogative.
Yeah, that's true. But it's only 14,000 feet, Corey. It's really not that big a deal. That's where I jumped off from, 14,000 feet. And I was terrified.
Yeah, and you, all Let credit to you for doing that.
I would never do it again. I landed safely, and I'll never do it again. But let's get into this Ben Simmons stuff. Doc Rivers, after making that comment about him being a point guard that could win a championship, it didn't sound very endorsing. He made more comments on the Ben Simmons stuff, and then I want to play the Daryl Morey clip to get your thoughts on that as well. But here's Doc Rivers.
We're not hiding that Ben has to become a better free throw shooter and a more confident free throw shooter. And if that happens, I really believe a lot of other parts of his game follows. I said that, if you remember, before the season started. First thing I said was we got to get him to the line 10 times a night and to want to get to the line 10 times a night. And so we got to put in work so he can get there. But if we can get him there, man, his game goes to a different level.
Now, I wasn't aware that he really wanted Ben Simmons to want to go to the free throw line 10 times a game. And he said this prior to the season started, but maybe he did.
You believe that?
Even if he did, though, you clearly didn't execute it. You probably didn't put anything into effect because there's not literally his free throw percentage has dropped every season he's been in a Sixers uniform. So why would we think that you put any effort into making sure that he wanted to go to the free throw line, particularly in that last game where he decided to pass up on a dunk or a layup and give the ball up because he was afraid of being fouled? Not a good look if you're Ben Simmons. Now, Daryl Morey has been on record saying they had a discussion about what they need to do. All right? Mm-hmm. But
where have you heard that before?
Right here in Houston. Mm-hmm. But the comment that came out that I felt like was telling was this one.
A lot of what I'm reading, I frankly don't understand, you know, people saying the Sixers are in a bad situation. You know, I don't choose to come here. Doc doesn't choose to come here if this is a bad situation. I mean, really 25 or 26 teams in this league would love to be in our situation.
Do you think that is a true statement? I would say yes, but there are parts of that team that make it a very bad situation considering their core. That's what I would say about that comment. But I don't think 25 teams. I think it was a slight exaggeration.
Right, so you're better than most. I would say, you know, you're obviously a playoff team. But as we've seen, take the latest examples. Take Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. You know what? That was supposed to be a tandem that was supposed to work. It hasn't. I don't care if they're good friends or not. Take James and Russ. They're great friends. Guess what? It didn't work. So you can get two really good players. When you pair them, it has to have chemistry. We talked about the Lakers because you had a big in AD and a wing and LeBron. That's why it worked.
It worked, yeah.
It took some time with Paul George and Kawhi, but it was working better. When you looked at those two guys, for as good as they both were, that's why I didn't think Embiid should have been in the MVP discussion. One, he missed too many games. And two, he doesn't have that dog in him. He doesn't have that just step on your throat mentality that when I saw him in the Toronto series, I don't care if he cried or not. It's what you did before you got to the point of crying to either take the game over and make a difference for your team. You mentioned it. He goes and he misses free throws when you need them most. He goes in when you need a bucket and he gets, or you need a good possession and he tries to dribble it and gets it taken away in game seven. For as much as you want to point the finger, deservedly so, at Ben Simmons, there are too many times you can point it at Embiid too. I told you all along, they built in this excuse, oh, the knee, he's going to try and persevere it, but he's damaged and it's not going to be better all playoffs. That's what Daryl would do with James. That's what Joel Embiid didn't need. Another reason to not perform, because if I don't, it's not on me. It's something else.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. The crying didn't bother me as much as a lot of people, because a lot of people made fun of him for it. It's how you bounce back in that situation. You can cry after losing a playoff game and then bounce back and just become an absolute dog. And that's what Joel Embiid needs to turn into if he wants to lead this team. Now, in terms of, you know, Ben Simmons, like, I don't know what else you do in that situation. I don't know if you can really, really genuinely improve on his free throw shooting or shooting in one off season and really make that. I don't know what they, I don't know what the front office believes.
Well, it's what Ben Simmons has to believe. Cause, and Todd, the show is brings up a quote that I already had pulled for today. Stephen A. Smith talked to someone close to the Sixers situation with Simmons and said, quote, he doesn't work. He doesn't listen. He's surrounded by nothing but family that babies him. Okay, that's got to change. And the other thing is, at least in the step in the right direction, one, you pulled a quote yesterday, and at least he was willing to admit, I got work to do. Then we heard today he's not going to go into the Olympics for Australia, because it wasn't going to be for the, he's Australian, so he could play for the, right. He wasn't going to make Team USA.
Right.
So instead of doing that, he's passing, because he says he knows he's got to get into the gym. Well, it's nice that you have 147 million reasons of security why you can or can't, but you've been coasting to this point, and somehow, some way, you've been staying out of the crosshairs, and people haven't identified what we knew when he was at LSU. He was a guy that once you got him going downhill or got him near the basket, was devastating, and he was a great passer. But if you wanted to beat him, and U of H, when they played him, did this.
Oh, yeah.
Force him to beat you by shooting jump shots.
Yeah. Yeah, now your mic needs Apollo Men's Health, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. But here's that clip that you were talking about in regards to Stephen A. Smith, because I believe that happened today, and he reported it on the air.
I just received, you know how Max, I get my text messages during the show. Y'all know that. I just received a text from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, he doesn't work. He doesn't listen. And everyone around him is family, and he's constantly babied.
I mean, look, stars to a certain extent are kind of babied, but if it's babied to the point where you can't improve as a player, that's a problem. If you can't improve as a player and you're the number two star on that team, massive problem.
No question.
And what is he going to do and play for Australia and miss more free throws? Nobody wants that.
Well, and think about it, too, Nick. Again, when we talk about chemistry and being able to mesh with the guy you play with. Embiid already has some issues at the line. But Embiid also has a lot of issues staying healthy. And when he's on the floor, he needs the ball. And what have we seen that works? When their best player is a low post player, they're going to get doubled. When they're doubled, they kick it out. If they're kicking it to you, you better be able to shoot, and you better be willing and wanting to shoot, which is not what he does.
No, he doesn't. And that's the scariest part about the whole situation, because if you do not want to, players and defenders are going to sense it.
Sure.
And it's going to be magnified like it was in the playoffs, like it was this in last game. So it's really, I don't know where his focus is. I would imagine he's sitting at home. He doesn't feel too great. Despite the fact that he has this massive contract, he's getting a lot of criticism. And you're still talking about a guy who scores well and plays defense.
Yep.
But he's getting all this criticism for one game and his lack of and his weak area in free throw shooting. So it's, you know, there's a lot of other players out there that are way worse than Ben Simmons. But right now we're pooping on the star. You know what I'm saying?
Where does he go? Where does he end up? Who would take him? That's the other question. With 4 years and 147 on a deal, when we talk about finding that mesh with the other player you play with, where does he mesh well where the team is actually open to trading for him? Because it either changes that. We said Portland, but Portland already knows that what he can't do is what they sorely need. They need a wing that can create his own shot.
Yep.
To take pressure
off
the
Dame. Simmons
is
not that guy. Yeah, I don't know if he would help Portland, to be honest. He'll make him a little bit better, clearly, because he's scoring.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of chemistry and stuff like that, and making it work in the playoffs, you're going to be back in that same situation if you're Portland, either getting bounced in the first or second round, and that's unfortunate. But that's just how I feel. It's got to be a very specific team, and his role, because of his lack of free throw shooting, it has to be a very specific role, I feel like.
So Vegas odds, Dick, on Ben Simmons' next team has Portland leading all teams at plus 200, followed by the Wizards. And you got to believe that involves, and again, think about who would have to go back. If it's the Wizards, Beal is getting ready for free agency. So if Beal wants to skip, he can skip. And so it doesn't make sense. And if Ben Simmons goes there, think about who their other best player is. It's Russ. Think about his deficiency. It's shooting. You want to put Ben Simmons with Russ and think you're going to win?
Yeah.
No. So that doesn't work. Okay, next on the list, the Spurs. Now, I could see Pop working with him, but is he surrounded by enough in terms of... And I also, we don't know what position he's going to play. Assuming it's point guard, but a lot of teams think and see him more as a power forward until he can get to be a better shooter. I don't think the San Antonio... Now, they could build around him, but he's going to have to change his entire game.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And the last one is the Jazz.
The Washington one I don't like because I feel like you're just getting rid of them and it's almost like shipping a player you don't like to a bad team. The Jazz would be interesting, but I don't know what they would have to give up. I mean, Conley's coming off the books with that $31 million a year deal that he had.
Right.
So maybe it works. I don't know. It is an interesting situation, but I mean, do you want to go play for Utah? Maybe you do. I mean, they do have a good team and Mitchell and Rudy Gobert. But you also have to look at that situation and wonder if those two are even cool with each other after this.
I think Mitchell wants out.
I don't think Mitchell wants. I don't think they like each other.
But well, they don't. They don't.
But they don't talk about it enough.
They don't. Exactly right. They don't, but they find a way to coexist and from a basketball world.
Yeah.
Because they both know that their contracts say they're not going anywhere. But based on how everything, remember how, go back to the start of the playoffs. When they decided to sit Spider Mitchell and he wasn't happy about it,
oh yeah,
look for him following that role of Deshaun and Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and all these guys and going, you know what? Even though I got a contract, I'm not sure I want to be here.
There's going to be a lot of unhappy players this offseason. I mean, a lot. And it's going to be interesting to see where they'll land. If you also will be super, super unhappy if you miss this fight between Gervonta Davis and Mario Barrios, because that's happening. I believe the sale on tickets is June 26th. It's a pay-per-view fight, Ticketmasters.com. It's a Floyd Mayweather promotion, and you can start buying tickets at Ticketmaster.com this Friday, June 26th. Now, Gervonta Tank Davis is a two-division world champion, and he's trying to get a third. So he's going up two weight classes to try and get that third championship, and he's going up against a taller, undefeated Mario El Azteca Barrios. So you can, that's live Saturday, June 26th on pay-per-view. Go to Ticketmasters.com and order it. It is Gervonta Davis, a two-time two-division champion, going up for a third, heading up against super WBA super lightweight champion Mario El Azteca Barrios, and you can buy the tickets at Ticketmasters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, I hope you're taking advantage of the nice, cool weather. I know I am on my patio from Texas Custom Patios. And if you want to do that, I think you're going to find that your house becomes a home. The craftsmanship is incredible, and your opportunity to add value to your home and value to your life experience is something that you will never forget and certainly never regret. Make sure you go to the website and check out their before and afters, TexasCustomPatios.com, and make sure you get a hold of them for a free consultation, TexasCustomPatios.com.
If you love supporting local Texas nonprofits and great coffee, then Cats Coffees are for you. Help give back to places like Enchanted Rock and Buffalo Bayou by going to CatsCoffee.com. Use the promo code ESPN20 for 20% off.
Saturday, Houston Dynamo FC hits the road once again to take on Real Salt Lake. Match coverage begins Saturday at 6:30 p.m.
Right here on your official English radio home of Houston Dynamo FC.
I'll pay you $100 for last look. When you're doing a deal at a dealership, take a picture of your deal sheet, send it to givemethevin.com. If we can't beat your trade-in offer, I'll send you a check for $100. We do the same thing with CarMax offers. Can't beat a CarMax offer? Send you a check for $100. Worst thing that could happen is you get $100. Best thing that could happen is you get $3,000 more for your car or your trade. We are America's best car buyer for a reason. We'll see you online at givemethevin.com.
Sell us your car. Givemethevin.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Do you like taking your car to a shop for maintenance or repairs?
Oh, are you kidding?
Exactly. That's why people all over Houston are using RepairSmith. RepairSmith will do all your car maintenance or repair in your driveway. Safely, with no contact.
RepairSmith works on my car at home?
Anything your car needs. Oil change, battery replacement, or brakes, you name it. From regular maintenance to major repairs, RepairSmith will do it all at your home.
What kind of cars?
All of them. RepairSmith has specialists for every make, year, and model of car. foreign or domestic.
Expensive?
No. You'll pay the same you would at a local shop. There's no fee for coming to your house. And you even get a guaranteed quote before you book. No surprises or extra fees.
Life just got a whole lot easier.
To get a free quote or to schedule at-home car repairs, go to repairsmith.com and enter code RADIO. That's REPAIRSMITH.com, code RADIO. Repairsmith.com, code RADIO.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Time running out on the New York Knicks. The Houston Rockets are the 1993-94 NBA champions.
Were you Charlie Pulillo?
I mean, if Kelly Eco is going to make an appearance in the studio, we're going to talk about the Rockets. Why not play that highlight?
Happy birthday, Clyde Drexler.
I know.
By the way, that's why he wears 22.
Did you say happy birthday to Clyde Drexler, Kelly?
No.
What?
I should have.
You should have.
And Joel, too. Happy belated to Joel.
Yeah, he did. He tried to call me, but since he's now Hands of Stone, second in command of Rosetta Stone. I when he's doing these one-on-ones with the guy that's the hot air blower, I kind of distance myself from him. Welcome to the show, athletic beat writer for your Houston Rockets, one Kelly Eco. Used to be friend of the family.
Used to be here all the time. And the question I was going to ask was, how much credit do you give Joel for your career?
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Joel.
Wow, that sounds like 100%. I was going to ask for a percentage.
It's a lot. It's damn near everything.
So he showed you the ropes. I mean, him being attached to the Rockets for what, 23 years?
And he showed me how to move. When I was an intern here, I had no experience. And, you know, Joel took me under his wing. He didn't have to. But he showed me everything I need to do. So now everything I've done from here on is...
I think the main thing that I love Kelly, but I didn't ask him to say any of that. But the main thing I want, when I knew what Kelly was about to do and what he wanted to do, my main thing was I knew he had the talent from a writing perspective, but I needed to kind of prepare him for the political way sports works with how you and I, Nick, have talked on a multiple time basis about how teams and representatives of teams will try and manipulate you to write what they want you to write.
Right.
And I needed to make sure he needed to stay with his opinion.
You can definitely tell that Kelly's evolved. Like, from the way I saw him cover the Rockets games prior to him being with The Athletic, like with ESPN 97.5,
right,
looking at the way they react to him to now and the way... I mean, I haven't been to a game this past season, but leading up to that, prior to the pandemic, I went to a lot of games. And you can just see the way the team reacts to him is completely different. Him and Ali Bajani. So it was good. I mean, the guy, the way he evolved in terms of dealing with the team is, I mean, it's incredible. So it's good that you had a mentor and a guy like Joel, I guess you can call him a mentor, but a guy in Joel Blank who's been attached to the Rockets for 23 years. Yeah, there Joel. You go.
I'm an OG sensei.
So where are you on this whole
let's get
draft
into this.
Lottery stuff, man?
By the way, Notorious B.I.G., what are we doing with the bling on the team?
He did took it off. This? Was it uncomfortable?
Did you see this? He's got a watch the size of a small car.
I was going to ask.
I thought it was going to make some noise. So I had to take it off.
Oh, okay. It's fine.
I forgot that.
Did Rosetta Stone get that for you?
No.
It was like perfectly placed right in front of the camera, though.
It
so
was,
it makes me wonder.
Does he got a sponsorship deal we're not aware of? He knows this radio
is that
deal
a Roly?
Too much?
Is that a Roly?
No, it's not a Roly.
No? What do you think of Rafael Stone?
What do I think of him?
Yeah, as a general manager.
I mean, I think it's still too early. He's made some pretty good moves.
Like?
If you talk about Tate was solid.
Oh, it was a good call.
KJ Martin. Mm-hmm. Wood, I think it's still up in the air to see how, you know, the rebuild goes. But I think for him and Silas and those guys, you kind of have to give them incomplete right now.
And that's fair, but what about the Harden trade? Because in his mind, don't judge him on it till 2030.
Right.
No one's got time for that or trusting any process that long. What is your opinion on the Harden trade?
I think it's a big risk. I think whenever you make a deal like that, you're always going to lose because you know your star player is gone. But personally, I think they could have gotten more. But you know the deal that they got they're kind of going to gamble on either Brooklyn being bad in a couple of years or the picks that they turn out if they get something tonight or down the line, they're going to bank on those being good. But still, anytime you make a move of that caliber, you have to be pretty sure of what you're doing.
Were you okay with the way they handled the LeVert situation?
That's what I would you have rather kept LeVert and Allen than Oladipo?
Correct. That's basically my question.
So I think it comes down to, and I kind of know how Joe thinks here, but it comes down to how you think of Allen and Wood. If you want to pay Allen down the line, if you think they can play together, I think LeVert is a fantastic young player. Personally, I would have liked to see him play with the Rockets this season, as opposed to what they got in Victor, because we saw how that turned out. But, you know, thank God he was okay, for sure, Caris LeVert.
Health-wise, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had the mass in his kidney, I believe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but hindsight is always 20-20. I mean, you never know if Wood and Allen could play together, if they could afford to pay those guys, because Allen's going to get paid this summer, too, his extension. Mm-hmm. So I think where they are now, it's where you want to be if you're going to rebuild. At least you know the guys you have, the young guys on the roster, the kind of future you want to see, and you want to get enough cap flexibility for next summer, 2022, when you have a lot of guys coming off the books then. But
how long do you foresee this rebuild going? Nick and I were just talking about it.
I think, okay, in terms of getting back to the playoffs?
Yeah.
4 years.
Okay.
I think four.
Being a contender?
Probably six.
Well, I mean, if you make it to the playoffs, you're kind of a contender. Kind
Are you
of?
Though?
No, because if you look at Memphis, right. If you look at Memphis, I think they kind of, if they don't win that play-in against Golden State, they're still being seen as a team on that rebuilding stage.
Yeah.
But because they made the playoffs now, people might try and think that, oh, they're ready for, you know, a deeper run, but I don't think they are. So I think for the Rockets, getting back to that level, like conference finals, game seven type, probably 5 to 6 years.
But do you think it's 4 years based on what happens in the draft, or do you think it's just 4 years?
I think it's 4 years based off of what happens in the draft, how the development goes internally, what happens around the league, and the next star or two to become available.
And that's the earliest in your mind, or do you think that's about what it takes?
I think four is the average.
But, okay.
Now you're seeing people like Ben Simmons might be available, guys like Jaylen Brown. You never know. A star can kind of speed up that timeline a bit.
Okay, we're going to get your thoughts on the draft after the break.
Yeah.
So I want to get this before we get to the break, Nick, on that thought. Getting back to the Harden thing one more time.
Sure.
You only get a rare opportunity once in a lifetime sometimes to make a Harden trade and get back never equal, but a good haul.
Right.
So the fact that you mentioned Jaylen Brown, you mentioned Ben Simmons, those were two guys that were in the Harden discussions that didn't end up being in the final deal. That's a concern.
Right. Right. And yeah, like, that's why those deals are so complicated. And you saw the drama kind of played into it, too. And you just wanted to see. It also depends on what the Rockets wanted to do in terms of, did they want to get right back to contending, or did they want to go a different
approach? You sat in those rooms. You heard what they were talking about. They're still trying to win championships.
Right. But if you go back to what, I think, who was it that said it? I think it was Tillman. It was a thing with ESPN, but he said that they don't want to make the playoffs next year if it means costing them down the line. Like, at first, I thought it was confusing, but
I think a lot of what they say is confusing.
But I could see how being in this young stage could be exciting to teams. Now, the draft is a crapshoot. You never know.
Okay, hold that, because we want your thoughts on how the balls fall. Because it's all about, in puberty and in Rocketsville, it's all about how the balls fall. And tonight we figure that all out and more. So hang on. Kelly Eco, beat writer for your Houston Rockets for The Athletic, joins us for one more segment next on the Press Box ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Saturday night.
I
Knockout King Gervonta Tank Davis. Everybody bow down, it's the king. Looks to claim his third division crown, stepping up two weight classes.
Levels.
To face undefeated world champion Mario El Azteca Barrios.
Now know there's only one king.
What a combination.
Who will rule the ring?
Davis is a champion.
Only one king.
Davis versus Barrios. Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Live on pay-per-view. The best way to watch Davis versus Barrios is on Xfinity. Save boxing into your X1 voice remote to order now.
It's time to get lit with Hybrid Light. Around the house, working in the garage, or on a camping trip, Hybrid Light has a solution. See the entire collection at HybridLight.com. They've got flashlights, lanterns, and headlamps with the coolest tech. Hybrid Lights work off lithium-ion batteries with solar recharging. So stop buying old-school batteries and go with a Hybrid Light. You can even charge your phone with it. Order today and get 20% off with promo code ESPN20. That's ESPN20 for 20% off, plus free shipping. HybridLight.com.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. Stop looking all over for high-quality windows and siding at an affordable price. Do like I did. Call Allstate Windows and Siding. Allstate Windows and Siding replaced my old windows with exemplary customer service and high-quality products. It enhanced the appearance of my house and increased the energy efficiency of my home. Take advantage of their specials right now. 25% off windows or buy 10, get 2 free. $2,000 off complete siding jobs. Home and virtual appointments available. Family run for 4 generations. 832-204-1936 or AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn unlimited 4% cash back on dining out, or in 4% back on entertainment, or on popular streaming, and now 3% back at grocery stores, so you can make the cake that makes her day.
Happy birthday to you.
So earn unlimited cash back for going out or staying in with the Capital One Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Wendy's restaurant in your area has issued a major bag alert.
Bag alert, major bag alert.
The Bacon Double Stack is back in the biggie bag with fries, nugs, and a drink, all for just $5. The following are to be expected: joy, disbelief, inability to think about anything else. This deal is effective immediately, and it's only at Wendy's.
Major bag alert. Bag alert.
Biggie Bag includes four-piece nuggets, small fry, and small drink. U.S. price and participation may vary.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one segment left in hour number one of the three-hour fiesta we like to call The Press Box. Nick and myself, joined by Kelly Eco, beat writer for your Houston Rockets. For The Athletic, big night in Rockets history, possibly, as depending on how the balls fall, it could be sweet music for your Rockets, or the pick could go to OKC. The cupboard is bare for the next 7 years from an assets perspective, like draft capital-wise, and Daryl and the path that he left before he skipped town will become more and more hated. So I ask you, Kelly, as you look at this draft, Nick and I were just talking about it in the opening segment. I said, aside from Suggs and Cunningham, I don't feel like anyone else in the top five can help this team as quickly as they need them. What say you?
I think there's more, a couple more. You could put Mobley in there on the cusp of someone that could potentially play with a Christian Wood as a big man who's so skilled and versatile, who can put the ball on the ground, create his own jump shot, is kind of defensively agile. Jalen Green is kind of a project. He's a superstar in the making, but he does have that G League experience playing in the pro offense. And those kind of guys need a little bit of tightening in certain areas, ball handling, playmaking.
But they got to fill out too. What I was saying to Nick was you got three guys that look like they haven't gone through puberty for very long that are going to have to play against grown men every night. And even Mobley at 7'1 needs to fill out.
Yeah, he's thin. And that's the problem. Kind of the thing with Mobley is if you draft Mobley, him and Christian are kind of thin framed.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw what happened last season when Christian went up against bigger centers like a DeAndre Ayton or a Rudy Gobert. He kind of struggled a bit. So defensively, that could be an issue. But, you know, with guys like Mobley, Suggs, Green, Cunningham, there are enough guys in that class to kind of give you some intrigue as a front office and as a head coach especially. Because the Rockets have a pretty young core.
Mm-hmm.
Tate, Martin, Wood, Porter Jr. Now you want to add to that because you don't know how long John Wall is going to be there. You don't know how long Eric Gordon is going to be there. You need to kind of build for the future. So the good thing is that they have guys like John Lucas who have gone through a lot of those kind of players that can kind of flesh them out a bit. So I think wherever they end up, as long as it's a top four pick, then I think they'll be all right.
My whole issue, because the trend of skinny and thin players, Kelly, is kind of common. I mean, you look at KD, you look at Clint Capela, you look at Wood, you look at a lot of these players. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to be a production or like an offensive force or a bad player. Right. It just means they might have some problems sometimes dealing with bigger players. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's the whole case. My whole issue is if you are one of those players that are really thin, like I feel like sometimes teams are not – they don't have the patience for you to evolve and grow. Like I felt like that was a part of the problem with Clint. Joel kind of clarified it a little bit for me. But I felt like there was a slow – kind of a slow production with Clint. It wasn't a bad production, but it was like a slow progress with Clint. And I feel like teams don't want to wait for that. You know, and that's why my fear with some of these thinner players is that they don't want to wait for that progress, and so they just trade them away. Maybe they trade them away too soon. And maybe they turn out to be better players 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
So, Joe, I want to ask you, besides Cunningham and Suggs, who's your 3, 4, 5?
I think Mobley's third. Okay. I think Green is fourth because for those teams that are willing to wait, like you said, he has the most upside in terms of superstar potential because I've said forever, the draft is now – not where if you have a top five pick, you're going to get an all-star with a chance to be a franchise player. You're drafting everything based on potential. So it's potential and patience, because how long are you willing to wait to see if the potential is there? I think it's Green, then it's Mobley, then to me it's Cunningham and Suggs, because I think Suggs is the most NBA-ready right now. But in a couple years, maybe Cunningham. Cunningham worries me because I don't think he has a killer instinct. I don't. When I watched him play, he should have taken over more games and in big opportunities wanted to seize the moment. I didn't see that from him.
So when guys like Cunningham, if your team drafting Cunningham, are you bringing him in to be your number one option, or are you bringing him to be, you know, kind of the pseudo number two, sometimes like a 1.5, like a Paul George?
So some are. Some teams, because they need a franchise player, are looking at him going, he's going to be our future. Others, which you could get fool's gold with, take him to be a Ben Simmons, to an already existing franchise type player.
Which team is going to put him, make any of those guys they're going to view him like that right off the top? Name one team.
Cunningham?
It's going to be bad teams, though.
Right. They're bad teams that are going to, they're hoping you are going to be our savior. You got to save our team.
Yeah. It's got to be someone like in the, like probably like the bottom four seeds of either, at least, like maybe even lower in either the Eastern or the Western Conference final. Because it can't be a team with stars on it.
But look at Detroit, Nick. Detroit has enough. Because of their last couple of drafts where they got some good young players, because they finally just realized we got to pull the plug. Get rid of Blake Griffin. Let all these young guys play. We're going to start trying to do it the long-term way instead of the quick fix. They have a good young core now to where whether he's A or B, you've got some guys that could develop into the other role.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. It's a risk, in my opinion, to deem any one of those guys a franchise guy, unless you're a bad team, right? Like you said, Detroit, maybe a Sacramento, like a really, really bad Orlando, I guess, because they're kind of in rebuilding mode. But it's not a bad thing to look at him as a second option if you can somehow get him on a team that already has a few good players. My question to you, though, is do you know anything about the relationship between Daryl Morey and the Rockets now? Like, is there any way that they pick up the phone, talk to each other, maybe make a trade down the line? Or is that a situation where that channel's just been cut off?
No, I don't think it's been cut off. I think Daryl, for as long as he was in Houston, all those friendships that he built, you know, with guys like Eli Whitus, Stone, all those guys, I think that channel will always be open. Now, in terms of how willing, you know, because that's kind of the old sensei. You know, he's been there for so long. So when you deal with someone like that, you kind of have to be kind of wary and cautious. But
plus, he's fleeced enough teams for the Rockets that people are worried about
him. I don't see how, if you're Fertitta, that you really want to deal with them. Now, you'd be kind of a dumb owner to say, you know what? I don't like that guy, so I'm never going to communicate with him. That would be dumb. There should be some sort of dialogue between the two. Maybe somehow a deal gets done. But I don't see how you're a Fertitta and you look at Daryl Morey and like, you know what? I'm picking up the phone and calling him anytime and making deals with that guy. You know what I mean?
But you can't let your personal feelings get involved though, Nick. You've got to say, hey, we might hate each other as people.
Correct.
But if you got something I need, I got something you need, let's scratch each other's backs and both be successful.
And that's why I said you got to keep that dialogue open. Like, you got to keep that channel open, at least some sort of line of communication. But I do expect him to feel some type of way about Daryl Morey. Now, does that impact them getting a better? I mean, what are they going to possibly get from the Sixers anyway?
Ben Simmons?
You think that's a legit possibility? That was a disagreement Joel and I had.
What side do you stand on?
I didn't think that he was a legit possibility at all. Going back to the Harden trade, I didn't think he was a legit possibility at all.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think Ben Simmons was legit in the Harden trade. I don't think they have enough now, to even as bad as Simmons was in the playoffs, I don't think they have anything now that entices Daryl to give you Ben Simmons.
I saw something about, I saw it all. I think it was John and Eric and some picks for Ben. I'm not sure if I was.
Wall, Gordon, and picks? You can have them all right now. I'm done.
I would do that deal. I don't think that's a legit possibility, though. You think that's actually good? You think teams are going to consider that? The Sixers would consider that.
I think where Daryl is right now, you know, as a team that just lost the second round to a worse Hawks team, I think if you can convince Embiid to stay and get him an actual guard and a scoring guard, like Seth Curry is great, but he's not going to be your primary ball handler, primary scorer. If you can get someone like Eric and John, two guys that still have somewhat of value, and it only costs you Ben Simmons, who clearly doesn't fit that team's timeline or style of play, if he's going to be their point guard, I think you do it.
But that actually makes sense because Daryl knows those, at least one of the two players. He loves Eric Gordon.
He loves Eric Gordon.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the timeline for Ben Simmons and the rebuild process with the Rockets, I mean,
he's 24.
Right, he's young, but he's also a guy that wants to win. He's being treated like a star, max player. You know,
it's not free agency.
You guys both know the guy that's the integral part in making that work. John Lucas puts his arm around a guy like Ben Simmons and says, "I can help you, right. Family. Stay over there. Trust me."
Right,
Ben Simmons, trust me. But then we're gonna work in the gym every day on your shot. We're gonna work on those things.
Right. And you know how much I love John Lucas. Yep. There's no knock on him, but no offense. He's not the only one that could teach you how to shoot a free throw. The guy's been getting worse at free throws each and every year.
But I think Ben's problem wasn't just shooting. If you look at that series, it was
beyond free
almost
throws.
Like a mental thing. Like, he wasn't in the series.
I keep going back to Markelle Fultz, but that's what it was on a grander scale. It was a guy that mentally was already so scared to shoot that even if he had a great look, he wasn't going to shoot it. And shooting is so much mental, he didn't have the confidence he could make anything. And that's where it takes an off season, and it takes a complete mental rebuild as much as it's a physical rebuild. And then it's still going to take time. Because I'm curious. I think that's actually a trade that works best for both franchises. You got to get under a guy that, Nick, we said, all the teams saw the playoffs. Not a whole lot of teams willing to jump onto Ben Simmons' bandwagon for $147 million. But not a lot of teams willing to take a John Wall contract and an Eric Gordon contract. But if I'm Philly and I go, while I still have Embiid, Ben really didn't do a whole lot for me this year in the playoffs. If I get two guys with NBA experience that have proven when they're healthy they can do some things, they're going to give me more than Ben Simmons gave me.
Yeah. I mean, look,
I think it works for both sides.
I
would love for Ben Simmons to be in a Rockets uniform.
But if you're Houston, what pick would you surrender? Would you surrender this year's pick?
If it's not top four. Because that's what you got to use. If it's not top four, your three first-round picks are just going to be used as enticers for another deal because they're not going to give you the kind of player that you desperately need. So then my question to you, and Nick, I don't know how far we go with this, because my question to Kelly is also whether that trade happened or not, chances that they can get rid of one or both, John Wall and Eric Gordon, before the start of next year. Because we heard buyout talks with Wall. We know Gordon doesn't fit their whole rebuild.
So with John Wall, I think they're not pressed for time. They still have 12 months to get a deal done because the most important thing is, can you clear space for 2022? Eric Gordon, I think that's more likely in season before the deadline. I think so.
Not off season, but into next season.
Yeah. I just think that Eric knows kind of where he stands with that franchise. They love him, but he wants to win. And they're not in a position right now to give him that chance to win and go get a championship. I think I could see him being traded before the deadline. But John Wall, I think that would be a more next offseason type thing. Because, like, they love John. He just wasn't healthy last season. But I do think that by the start of next season, like the one after this coming up, you won't see either of them on the roster.
There you go. All right, before we go to the break and wrap up the first hour of the program, I got to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, if you've been trying to figure out how you can feel and act and look and do the kind of things you did when you were in your 20s again, you thought that's just behind you and there's no chance, no way, well, there is. It's called Apollo Men's Health, and they're helping men and women get to feeling like they used to feel all over again, whether it be from the boardroom to the bedroom to the weight room. If you want to feel like you once did and do the things you used to do, you can do it if you contact Apollo Men's Health. Two locations near downtown Houston to better serve you. And Dr. O and his staff, they've worked at the other clinics. They know what works, what doesn't, and they know how to best treat you. So what you do is you set up your first appointment. You go to ApolloMH.com. You'll find out most major insurance is accepted, discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then you're going to get in there and talk one-on-one with someone from the staff. They're going to ask you some tough questions. If you give them honest answers, they're going to find you results. Everything from hormone therapy for men and women to a full body composition analysis to get you back on a workout program to maybe recovering quicker with HGH peptide therapy. They got the answers as long as you answer their questions. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by. You'll get a free B12 shot on your first visit. It's the good people doing great things at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.